Attention listeners, we're excited to announce that AfterSight will be moving to our new office on March 26th. As we make this transition, our services will be down most of the day. We apologize for any inconvenience, but truly appreciate your understanding as we start this new chapter. Thank you for listening to AfterSight.
You're listening to an AINC original podcast. We believe you don't have to do life without a compass. Let us be your guide on this amazing journey. Welcome to Navigating Life with Vision Loss.
Hello, I'm Kim Wardlow, and I'm your host for NLVO, a production of AfterSight. We're counting down now. Actually, this is dropping on Christmas Eve. So you all may be deep in preparations for Christmas Eve or listening to this at a later date. But we're getting down to the last few days of the year. And so this episode, New Year, New You, New Goals, is what we're talking about for this show as we're getting ready to go into 2025. Our guest today is Charlie Kramer. He's no stranger to AfterSight. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Good to have you. And I think the last time you and I talked, I know you've been on some of the other podcasts as well, we were talking about relationships.
That's right.
Yeah.
We were talking about relationships. Yeah.
Which may or may not play into people's goals for the coming year.
Probably somewhat, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so as we're looking at that, I think often before we do looking forward and setting goals, we kind of look back on the year, at the end of the year, kind of looking back on our year and assessing, you know, what we accomplished, what went well. I know here at AfterSight, the beginning of the year, we changed our name and had some big accomplishments and big changes this year. What about you? Do you have anything you'd like to highlight? I know you've had a lot going on.
Big changes for me. I think one of them is just feeling more settled. I moved across the country in July 2023. I think that's correct. So I'm now feeling a lot more settled here in St. Louis, and that's been huge. So a lot of my goals are just like leaning more into that, especially while I'm going to be doing a lot more traveling for work. And then the biggest thing, we're planning a wedding. So I'm getting married in May.
Congratulations. Which is
really exciting. Thank you. Yeah. So we're both really excited about that. And honestly, 2025 is a lot of just rooting down some good traveling and focusing on the joy of getting married. And it's been fun. It's been a really fun process so far.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it's been fun and not too stressful. So that's a really good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, it's so much work. It's going to be wild and there's going to be so much to do. And there is. And I've found that doing it with someone that you love is exciting and it's been really enjoyable. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us into our discussion and topic for today of looking forward into 2025. You know, I know a lot of folks, traditionally people set, you know, resolutions for the new year, and everybody jokes about how, well, it's February, so now you haven't kept your resolutions. And I'm just wondering, maybe there's a better way to set goals, maybe not resolutions per se, but to, you know, to kind of set some intentions for the new year.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of goals in general. I think that measuring growth is really a rewarding process. I don't know if you've experienced that too, Kim, but I find that when you're able to track how well you've done, it's exciting. And then there's also the element of being able to track where you might have had a goal, but maybe didn't pay as much attention to it. And instead of beating yourself up for it, going into an understanding of, well, why? Like what happened that caused it? And sometimes the the thought could be, it wasn't as much of a priority as I originally thought it was. And I'm okay that it wasn't something that I accomplished. Or it could be, well, you know, there was these factors that impacted my ability to accomplish this goal. And I also think it's really important to categorize when we're looking at our goals and reviewing them from 2024 as to thinking of not checking them off as complete, but I like to label it as accomplished, improved upon, and continued. And that's all one category. Mm-hmm. That's a title for one category. So if you've improved upon it in any way, if you've accomplished it in any way, it goes into that category. And if you have, you know, you have to make room for the fact that you're going to continue doing it. It's not that you can just stop and move on to something different and expect for it to continue. You have to stay consistent. So I like to measure it as improved upon and accomplished rather than just accomplished, because it can often be really overwhelming to expect ourselves to accomplish and completely check something off in just one calendar year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There aren't too many things that you just finish and that's the end.
Yeah.
Like most things you're, even with the move, like, okay, well, you've moved, but then, and that's accomplished, but then there's still that ongoing settling and packing all those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's so many different aspects to it, and you can feel unsettled in certain capacities, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I moved here, but for a while my office was just a train wreck, you know? And I would look at the wall and look at my computer and just ignore everything else. And that felt overwhelming if I only paid attention to that aspect of the move, whereas every other aspect of our house looked fantastic, right? So it is about perspective too. And if you only focus on what you haven't accomplished, well, you're going to feel like you didn't accomplish anything. So it's important to recognize the improvements and the balance.
When you're looking at setting goals, you talked about, you know, not feeling like that pressure of you have to fully accomplish something. Do you suggest actually setting kind of smaller goals? Like you might have a large goal, but then you have, smaller goals along that process?
Yeah, I think that there's ways to set up smaller benchmarks. I look at it a lot in my work, where I'll say, okay, I want to release this new course, or I want to release a new program or some big project. And I'll still write down, I want to, you know, create this new project. And then I have a system that I use where on a daily and weekly basis, I can go through and set tasks to make sure that I'm creating progress along the way and not just, you know, hoping that it's going to happen, or not even setting a deadline at all. That's a big thing that people do. They'll say, okay, here's my resolution for 2025. And then in 2025, December 31st pops up and they go, oh man, I never set a deadline for that. Right. So,
and I never started it.
I didn't even set a deadline. So I think it's about, for me personally, I like setting, checkmark points,
right?
Where I break it into chunks and say, okay, by this date, I'm going to get this done. And that makes it a little bit less daunting. And then I know at least I've made improvement, over time with it.
Especially for a large goal. I think that's helpful because it can just seem so overwhelming sometimes to even start, and it makes it easy to procrastinate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also helpful to get really specific, because if you say, I want to lose weight, or I want to make more money, you know, or I want to save more money, that can be really overwhelming, because the first thing is like, okay, well, how do I do that? I have no idea how to do that. So when I'm working with my clients, I try and say, okay, how much weight would you like to lose? How much money would you like to save? What is the amount that you would need that would make you feel accomplished, right? Mm-hmm. And what would be the amount that would make you feel accomplished and would maintain your health, both financial health, you know, physical health, mental health, and balancing all those factors together, and saying, okay, I want to lose 10 pounds in 2025, or I want to save X number of dollars a month in 2025, and then creating a system based on that to make it put into place and actually follow through instead of just saying, I want to save more, I want to make more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're too general.
Exactly. Yeah. The more, a lot of people get nervous when they go specific. It's like, oh my gosh, if I go specific, then I'll never accomplish it and it won't happen. And I'm putting too much pressure on myself. But it's actually quite the opposite. The more specific that you get, the easier it is for you to accomplish. And then you just view it along that improved upon mindset. So if you only lose 8 pounds instead of going, ah, crap, I didn't do it. You know, I didn't get to 10. It's like, well, you got 80% of the way there. Yeah. Like, that's really amazing. So, and you probably wouldn't have gotten 8 pounds if you hadn't said, I want to lose 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. What about the number of goals that we set? And do you set goals in the different areas of your life? So your personal, professional, spiritual, whatever, you know, categories different individuals may have. Is there a number? I can see if you had too many goals, that would be hard as well to feel like you are making progress.
Yeah. I think it's really helpful to categorize them. It makes it really clear as to what areas of your life actually you are wanting to improve upon the most. Because when you break it down, you can go financial, health, and career, physical health, mental health and mindset, relationships, like loving relationships. And then you can also do friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a general guideline of different categories that you can use. But once you start filling those out, you're going to realize really quickly, okay, well, it seems to me that I really want to improve my physical health this year, or I really want to improve my mental health this year. And then you can say, okay, well, who could I lean on? Who could I hire? Who could I work with that specializes in that area so I can maximize my growth? You know, and then you can say this year is actually, all these other goals are fantastic, but this year I'm focusing on my physical health. I'm focusing on my mental health. And by creating that type of focus, it can really improve actually the other categories as well. Because once you get that accomplished feeling rolling and you're making progress, it just starts to bleed outwards and create impact everywhere.
Well, that's great advice, because I think it can be easy to feel like, well, I have all these different areas of my life and I need to be setting goals and making progress in all of these areas. And that's true to a certain extent, but having that focus is really important.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of these different categories impact each other.
Sure.
You know, if you improve your physical health, you're going to feel better mentally. If you feel better mentally, you're probably going to improve your relationships, and you're also going to improve the connections that you have with your friends and family. So those are some categories that you just improved upon all by really focusing on the one category that has the most goals, that has the biggest area and room for improvement too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about accountability? And, you know, sharing your goals with somebody to, you know, to help you stay accountable.
I would make sure that if you are sharing your goals with someone, that you are doing it with someone that you trust, that you know is going to match your mindset or help you to challenge your mindset in the way that you're wanting. I think one of the most challenging pieces of sharing things with other people is that you're automatically giving them an invitation a lot of times, whether intentionally or not, to have them give you advice or have them give you feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be really careful about who you're giving that invitation to. So I always make sure that if I'm sharing my goals with someone, I'm sharing it with someone who is going to match my mindset around goal setting, who's going to support me in the ways that I want to, or if they're going to give me advice, they're going to give me advice that pushes me in a direction that I want to be challenged, rather than sharing it with someone who might make me feel worse about myself, or they say, oh, you're never going to accomplish that, or you're setting your expectations too high, right? you want to be cautious about that because feedback can, you know, can impact the way that you feel about yourself, and you should be open about that. And okay, you know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We all have emotions. So you want to be cautious around that too.
Are there other ways you would suggest that people, you know, build in accountability, just in tracking, you know, apart from bringing in another person into the process?
I would say that's the greatest resource if you bring in a professional. So if you bring in a coach, if you bring in a therapist, any person along those lines who you're meeting with on a set basis, mm-hmm. where they are, their job is to make sure that you are staying on track and they're helping you stay accountable, because that will, it's like having a homework assignment, right? You've got a deadline. Were you working on it in time? Did you put those things into place to be able to go back to your therapist and coach and say, hey, I got a little bit better, right? Mm-hmm. And then someone else, you know, they're also there to be able to say, okay, well, we didn't improve upon it this time. Why did it happen? That's okay. No worries. Where you feel safe saying, I didn't do my homework. So that's the most powerful way. There's also a ton of different tools out there and different resources that you can use, especially electronically, you know, to be able to help you with your goals. So I use different organizational systems like Asana. There's, you know, calendaring that you can do with, you know, iCal or Google Calendar. You can send yourself like automatic text message reminders every single day. You can sign up for programs like that. There's a ton of different things out there that'll help you.
So that's good to know. And are any of them, I know anything that you're using will be accessible, but yeah, you know, for somebody who is maybe new to having lost some vision, or, you know, has had difficulty trying to use apps and things, trying to find something that's accessible.
Definitely. Well, the biggest thing I'd say is on whatever device you're using, nowadays, a lot of them have accessibility features built into it. And that could just be part of your goal. If you're already struggling with accessibility, try and get familiar with the accessible tools that are already at your disposal that are free to you. I think that could be really helpful. And then you could also bring in other people or other resources that you find a little bit easier to use too. But I know that if it's on a major program like Apple or Google, all of those will be compatible with things like JAWS or screen readers. I have a phone that's super boosted with all the text and I can zoom in on it. And just taking a few minutes to learn some of those resources could be helpful, because a lot of the mainstream, really popular applications like that will be very accessible with your different mobility and accessibility tools. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going along. We've set some goals. We have some way of being held accountable, whether we have a coach or a friend or mm-hmm. an app. But we're trying to track. And I think, you know, things just don't always go as we planned. You've kind of alluded to that. Sometimes mm-hmm. things happen and it changes, you know, the progress that we're able to make, or maybe the time frame that we have. What advice do you have on being able to be flexible so that you're not, a person doesn't feel like they failed or feel defeated just because, you know, they've missed a milestone mark, or, you know, they hope to be yeah. further along by a certain time in the year?
Absolutely. I think a lot of times it's easy to fall into the mindset of, if you set low expectations, you can never be disappointed, right? And I hear people say that a lot. Mm-hmm. I personally don't subscribe to that. And one reason is because the bigger the goals that you set, the larger the opportunity you're allowing yourself to grow. And I just try and think about it on a visual scale, right? On a scale of, you know, one side of the room to the other side of the room, okay? Or one side of the page to the other side of the page on a straight line. On one side is you, And the other side is your goals. Now, if you only set your goals a little tiny bit away from yourself, right? Because you're so afraid that you're not going to accomplish anything. The space between you and your goals is the amount of room that you're allowing yourself to grow. So if you accomplish all your goals, fantastic, you're going to feel accomplished. That's one way of doing it. But in reality, if you set your goals on the other side of the room and you allow yourself to be disappointed and to know that it's okay to be disappointed, you will far exceed the growth amount because you're allowing yourself more opportunity to grow. So it's hard to describe without, like having a visual aid, but essentially the larger you set that gap, the more you allow yourself to achieve, and you'll often far surpass the amount that you set if you would set really low goals or low expectations of yourself. So set high expectations, set high goals, be kind to yourself, and learn how to deal with disappointment in a healthy way, because failure is an absolute essential role in goal setting and growth. It is what allows you to learn, and I want you to think about it as failing forward as an opportunity to learn and to grow, rather than any failure being a sign that you're taking steps backwards.
Yeah, I think that can be, it just is so hard. And we've all been through that where we felt like, you know, we failed, but I think your advice on saying, well, fail forward, don't let it stop you and say, oh, well, I just can't do this. But continue to look at it as an opportunity to learn mm-hmm. and grow. I think we do, as much as it can be uncomfortable to fail, I think it is always when we learn the most.
Yeah. I would say let it educate you. Let your failure educate you. Because that's honestly what it's there for. It's so challenging to accomplish everything that you're going to make mistakes. You just got to be willing to know that that will happen, but that doesn't mean that you're a failure, right? And mm-hmm. not failing doesn't make you a failure. And there's a really big distinction there. And I think oftentimes we easily make that jump from failing to I am a failure. And as long as you can remind yourself in those moments, you can say, I didn't accomplish what I want to, but I'm not a failure. I can do this, and it's painful, and I wish I had done better. Mm-hmm. You can hold space for both of those things at the same time, the farther along you're going to get.
That's really good advice. And what about reassessing a goal? So I think that can always be an interesting thing where you feel like, well, maybe I need to rethink this and reassess that, which mm-hmm. can... And maybe that's true, and maybe there's reasons to do that. But sometimes that can just also be a convenient way to reduce that space again and say, this maybe is seeming too much, so I'll just step back and set a smaller goal. Not necessarily, you know, a milestone like we were talking about, but, you know, to go back. How do you advise people if they're struggling and thinking they maybe need to reassess their goal, or maybe they need to reassess their goal and they want to make it bigger?
Yeah, I think it's about determining whether or not your goal is what I call a get to it eventually goal, or it's a present priority goal. And I really want to emphasize the word present in the priority one. Because if it's something that is really important for you right now, and it is a present priority, then don't allow it to go into the get to it eventually zone. Mm-hmm. However, some things are really just a, you know, it's not a big deal and I'll get to it eventually. And that's okay. So I do like setting benchmarks and just... looking at all my goals and going, all right, have I accomplished and continued that? Yep, put it in that category, right? Reprioritize them and go, what are my five present priorities based on where I am right now? Really, not the ones that I want to do the most. What are the present priorities in my life that I should focus on? And what are the ones that are like, I'll get to it eventually. Like, I really do want to get there. I will get there, but it's not right now. For some people, they may say, well, one day I really want to be a father. I really want to be a mother. I want to get married. And I'm 22 years old and I'd rather go travel the world. You know, that's just an example. So mm-hmm. The goal is still there, but it's a get to it eventually. It's not a present priority. So allowing yourself to recategorize in that way is very, very helpful as well.
And sometimes life circumstances change too, that you might want to reprioritize your goals based on changes in your job or family circumstances or whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's a good point. I tend to write down goals that are in my control. If you want to write down a goal, I'd also write down like an outcome. So say mm-hmm. if it's about getting a job, I would make the goal really specific about during this year, I want to improve my XYZ skills. I want to become more proficient with accessibility tools. I want to gain credentials in this specific area. And I want to improve in my productivity so that I can work towards a promotion. Or even you could say so that I could feel 100% worthy and ready for receiving a promotion when the timing is right. So that you're balancing the fact that you're accomplishing those skills, mm-hmm. but you're also recognizing that you are not at fault for not getting the promotion all the time, because sometimes those decisions are not in your hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an important distinction. You're setting a goal that you can manage and control as opposed to a goal that is reliant on the action of someone else.
Exactly. Exactly. That has been a really big help for me and for the people that I work with. And sometimes they'll say, well, I want to do this and this, this, this. And I say, okay. And I ask them, how much of that is in your control? And then you rewrite the structure of the language to help it reflect that amount of control.
Well, and you've referenced this throughout our entire talking together here, but writing goals down. Mm-hmm. And the importance of actually writing something down as opposed to, okay, well, these are my goals and they're just in my head, or, you know, something like that where they're not actually in a place where you can have them written down and reference them.
Yeah, it is absolutely vital. I think if you take away anything from today and from our conversation, it's write down your goals. Because if they're in your head, they're ideas. If they're written out, they're goals. Because you can't measure an idea, because mm-hmm. it's going to constantly shift and move in your head, and the mm-hmm. idea of how much you want, and then you're just convoluted and it's a giant circle. But if you wrote it down, you can always go back and look at it or read it through Braille or have it be read out to you in other ways to remind yourself, this is my goal. Right? And this language around it feels good. And this is what I'm trying to accomplish. It makes it a reality and it makes it structured.
And I think that's helpful too. Our lives are busy and it's easy to get busy doing different things and not entirely forget about our goals, but we're not as focused. And having that written down in some form that you can reference to mm-hmm. keep that in front of you throughout the year so that you can maintain that focus.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of the biggest things is just don't be afraid to write it down. You know, don't be afraid to write it down.
Yeah. I think sometimes people don't want to write it down because then it makes it very real. And then, you know, they feel like, oh, now I really have to do this, and there's some fear mm-hmm. if it's a big goal that they're trying to accomplish. There's some of that fear of failure, but just being able to push through that and give yourself some grace if you do struggle with a goal.
Yeah. And it's also why I always say, know that there will be failure and be ready for it. Because if you're not doing it because of fear of failure, well, don't be afraid of it because it's going to happen. How mm-hmm. big will the failure be? Probably not that big, but you'll learn from the mistakes that you make. And that is actually an essential part of the process. So instead of expecting perfection, expect making a few mistakes along the way, learning from them, and writing them down is going to be so helpful for you in tracking them, right? Mm-hmm. It clarifies the cloudy feelings that are going on in your head so much. Yeah.
And then when you get to the end of the year, you'll have them there to be able to reflect on what you've done too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, as we're wrapping this up, Charlie, are there any other tips that you want to leave with our listeners as they're going into a new year?
Be kind to yourself and be courageous with yourself, and you'll have a good year.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much for being with us again on NLVL and giving us some advice on how we might set some goals for 2025. So a year from now, we can really feel good about what we've done and what we've learned.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. As always, it's always a pleasure being here with all of you.
Well, thanks all of you for listening. We have one more episode left in 2024. And I just would encourage you as we're in these last few days of the year to think about your goals for 2025 and being able to set some of those. We appreciate you joining us for Navigating Life with Visionless. I'm Kim Wardlow, your host, but I want to just wish you a wonderful start to the new year from all of us at AfterSight. So have a happy 2025.